World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, if you wanted to, the Bible talks about signs in the heavens. You certainly could do that. What, 3 feet of snow up in Wisconsin still coming down? Thunderstorms here again in Ohio like you can't even believe. 70-mile-an-hour winds. That's right. 70-mile-an-hour winds we had here on, was it Thursday night, Friday, whatever night it was. You remember when it was, Betty? 70-mile-an-hour winds, right? We had high winds again yesterday. If we're looking for the signs of the time, there's certainly something that's going on in the heavens. I get George in here. George will tell you it's all, George will tell you it's chemtrails and all that. I don't know if George will jump in here or not. Mel said knocked out the power. People were without power. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Yeah, you guys, do you understand how helpless we are if they were to cut the power grid? Do you really understand that? You talk about the Muslims, the infiltration of Muslims or whatever. Can you imagine if they just went around and they just attacked the power grid? What would happen to most Americans? The average person has no food stored. And the stuff in your freezer, it's all going to, if you do have it, if you don't have a generator of some kind, that's going to go. We are so at the mercy of the Lord, right? So at the mercy of the Lord. Hey, cleaning up a weekend there. We did a prayer vigil on last night, Sunday night, and I'm kind of convinced. I'll get you mail. Hang on. I'm kind of convinced that Sunday's really not the best time to do it, especially Sunday at 7. But we had a good one last night, and some new folks, and we're going to do it again tonight, 7 o'clock tonight, prayer vigil, and we got a lot to pray for. Mel, I just sprung that one on you, so it's probably not up on there. I'm just telling you guys, come and join us just for. We'll give it an hour, whatever. Because the Bible says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together even more as we see that day approaching. So we're certainly in the middle of it. 7 o'clock tonight. 7 o'clock tonight. And then this weekend, I'm going to be out of town. Pull up the Stay Awake America thing there real quick, Spencer. I didn't give it a number there at the top. Ohio Amy and the crew. That's not it. It should, right at the very top, prayer, 7 p.m. next on Ohio Facebook. You pull that up. There it is. Play that. It's only about 2 minutes. So this will be this weekend down in, look, I know some of you guys are in Fort Lucie, Florida. So, but some of you, maybe you're close, want to go. I don't know if there's live streaming. We'll see if there is. I want to tell you this. If you're watching Coach Dave live, you're so far ahead of the average person. You're so far ahead of the average person and what's going on. And so this event, just go and play this real quickly, if you could. It's about 2 minutes. Oop, can't hear it. That's Ohio Amy. Wow. You know, Spencer, that happened to me earlier today on another video. What is that? Amy, I'm sorry we can't hire. Stay Awake America. I'm not going to play if we can't hear it. Stay Awake America. Stuart Rhodes.
And how out next week? Ohio Amy here for the Stay Awake America tour. Did you know next week we will be at the True Church in Port St. Lucie for the Stay Awake America tour? Join me and Dr. Judy Mikovich, Peter Tichton, Ivan Ranklin, Stuart Rhodes, Kathy O'Brien, Enrique Tarrio, and the Casper McLeod Band, plus 17 more nationally known speakers, experts in health, civics, education, the threat of Islam to America, and child sex trafficking. The mission of the Stay Awake America Tour is to unite, engage, and activate local action for national impact. Get details and register at StayAwakeAmerica.com. That's StayAwakeAmerica.com. Stay Awake America, because America is counting on you. For details and tickets, go to StayAwakeAmerica.com. That's StayAwakeAmerica.com. Stay Awake America, because America is counting on you.
Tommy Robinson, you gonna know who that guy is? He's a British guy. Tommy Robinson, he's gonna speak. I mean, it's a lot of folks. So that, we got that coming up this weekend. Mel, go ahead quickly. Not quickly. Go ahead, Mel.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, my power was knocked out for a whole day. So, yeah. Hey, today I want to feature a new action and event. Go ahead and scroll down a little bit more, Spencer. On the 28th, there are going to be no King's rallies across the country. If you can click on that. Gary Dunlap contacted me and wanted to initiate this, you know, event action. But on Saturday, March 28th, there will be no King's rallies held across the country. These are the same types of events that were done last year protesting President Trump's actions. He's provided a link, which includes a map where you can click to find an event near you. And he's asking people to show up at these rallies in our community to proclaim the gospel.
Or maybe organize our own, right, Mel? Maybe organize our own.
Yeah, street preaching, you know, handing out tracts. You know, it's our opinion that it's no king but King Jesus. So anyway, this is an opportunity. So I wanted to bring this to your attention.
Thank you, Mel. Did you guys see that Ted Cruz says now, if you say no king but King Jesus, it's anti-Semitic? Did you guys see that? Folks, we're surrounded by nuts. We're surrounded by nuts. Thanks, Mel. No king but King Jesus. Begin to organize little events where you are. I got so much stuff to get after. Huh? Oh, my goodness. So one other thing. Not that. Dale's Kids. Pull that one up there, Spencer. Tip your cap to Dale's Kids. They're out karateing. They're winning. Dale sent me this. This is his son Levi and his daughter Abigail, and they advanced and got some awards and hardworking and go socials. Dale, you want to brag about him a minute? That's Levi.
Unfortunately, Levi lost his first match in 3 years. His record is 26-2. Coach, I wouldn't want to get kicked by that kid. That's all I can say. No, they took two golds, two silvers, and two bronze, and that's in the States. There was about 1,500 kids in this. They're good at what they do. They're gearing up for the Nationals. I'm teaching my kids, teaching their hands to fight and their fingers to war. Nobody's gonna push them around.
Amen. Amen.
And yes, they read their Bibles every day.
Folks, we got to bring the warrior spirit back into Christianity. We have got, folks, I'm just telling you, they have so dumbed us down and so domesticated Christianity that a guy like me or a guy like Dale or anybody wants to stand up and push back Randy, I'm forgetting people. You're a freak. You understand that? You have become the freaks in Christianity. When we're told to earnestly contend for the faith, what does that look like? What does it look like to earnestly contend for the faith? So they shoot Paul Gosselin. He almost bleeds out. He bleeds out and almost dies. And then probably people around him say, oh, well, Paul, you probably shouldn't have been doing it. Paul, right? Is that the kind of shit you're hearing, Paul, from people? You probably shouldn't have been doing it. So fall back in line. Everybody saw what they did to Paul. You fall back in line, or you'll be the next one. Right, Paul?
I know what it is, Coach. They don't want to have anything to do with that kind of violence. They want to stay away. It's much easier to blame somebody than to be involved, Coach.
Hey, Paul, we're not for violence here. Folks, I'm not for violence. But we better get ready because it sure as hell is coming to our door. It is. It's all around us. And the next thing that's going to happen here, I'm saying, Lord, let this be a lie. It's going to be little pop-ups, local pop-ups again, and they're going to blame it on the Muslims. And will it be the Muslims? Do you guys trust the CIA? Do you trust the FBI? Will it be Muslims really doing that? Or could it be true that most Muslims, like most Christians, really don't give a damn? They really don't give a damn. Now, we go and we bomb the Middle East. Are they pissed off at us? Yeah, they're probably pissed off at us. Oh, my goodness. What in a crucible. Remember I talked about that last week? We're in a crucible. We are right now in the middle of stuff, man. And let me say this. I'm so grateful you guys get up in the morning and come here. And I want you to know that you guys are probably top 5% of understanding what's going on. The average person you go to church with ain't got any clue. Would somebody give me, would somebody out there say amen? Say amen, huh? Ain't got any clue. Mm-hmm. In fact, they avoid you. They avoid Betty because Betty's a conspiracy theorist. They avoid Glenn because he's a conspiracy theorist, right? Republicans good, Democrats bad, right? And yeah, Wes, sometimes I wish I didn't know what I do know. And the question is, what are we going to do with what we know? I got to show you something today. This I was humbled yesterday, and I want to share this with you. Sky High. We have three decks at Sky High. And wouldn't you know it, they all need painted at the same time. Stay with me. This is a lesson here. Wouldn't you know it, they need painted. And they're going to fall apart if they don't get painted. And it's such hard work. And yada, yada, yada. I talked to my son-in-laws about helping me, and they would help me. But we'd never get, they're big. We'd never get them done. Stay with me. It's not about decks, okay? So I went online, and I was looking for somebody to paint decks. And the Lord led me to this group called Molto Bello. Just stay right there a minute. Which Molto Bello means very beautiful. Very beautiful. So I contacted Vince, the guy who runs Molto Bello online, told him what I had going on. He made me a quote. And I said, no, is there anything you can do to lower it a little bit? How about we cut off this and we cut off this? And he came back, says, okay, coach, we'll do it. He didn't call me coach, but find out anyway. His dad was a coach, yada, yada, yada. And so we come to an agreement and cuts it down to where it's affordable to paint all three decks. And he says, okay, we'll be out there Saturday at 9 and we'll be done Sunday night at 7. We'll get them all three of them done. I'll bring a crew, yada, yada, yada. I don't know this guy from literally from Adam. And I got into a conversation with him. Listen to me. I wear my cross hat everywhere I go. And they pull in with the crew, and I start having a gospel conversation with this guy. And he is so open to the gospel. And he told me one of the most profound things ever. He said, I've only been to church 5 times in my life. He told me. I've been to church 5 times in my life. But he was very open to the gospel, sort of understood the gospel, but not really understood the gospel. So it was like a magnet. It's like a magnet. And we discussed it, and I went through the whole, gave the gospel and got to be baptized. And he understood it. This is one of the most profound things, folks. I'm just telling you, this is unbelievable. And one by one, if you're in the Central Ohio area and you need painting work done, call this guy, call Vince. He's a young guy, I'm guessing 30, 35, brought a crew of four with him. By the way, those pictures you're seeing, that's not our place, okay? I'm going to show you some pictures here, though. And they came up, and the most unbelievable thing began to happen. He said, painting the front deck, he says, hey, coach. We'll go ahead. We'll do this too here. Since we'll do this here. And he gets up on the upper deck. Those of you who know Sky, I know what I'm talking about. He said, hey, coach, that bottom needs painting. We'll go ahead. We'll go ahead and do that then while we're here. It was just absolutely the most unbelievable integrity from a guy who really wasn't a Christian. He wanted to be one. And the integrity. He wasn't trying to scam me. He wasn't trying to get more money out of me. And he kept calling me and saying, coach, we're going to do this. Is it okay if we do this? If it's okay if we do this? And coach, we'd like to do this. I want to go ahead and paint all this down here. Would that be okay if I did? Unbelievable. So if you would, pull that picture up there. Is that the video of him doing my play? This is it, I think. Look what he did at Sky High. Those of you who know Sky High, he just put this together yesterday. We had three decks. We have three big decks at Sky High. Go and play that. unbelievable blessing of the Lord for sure. And Vince, he doesn't know anything about, he knows Coach Dave live. You happen to be out there, Vince? Hey, folks, a guy had more integrity than 90% of the Christians that I deal with. 90%. Dale. I'm getting it ready for the annual, right? We're trying to make it look good for the annual. And it is unbelievable. But I was blown away by the fact that this guy who doesn't even really understand Christianity was more Christian than most people I come in contact with. It kind of humbled me. Because, you know, the mentality of much of Christianity is we want the Lord to bless us, right? So we try to squeeze as much out of people as we can, right? And unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let's see. I'm going to shut up. I got some more stuff I want to show you, but anybody got something busting on them right now they want to talk about? Before I get rolling. Come on in, Adam.
Hey, Coach.
By the way, Adam, you did a great show. You did a great show on last week. It was really, really good. And you're on the cutting edge as well, Adam. And here's your promise. They're going to hate you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Coach. Well, I was just going to say everything that you were talking about before about all the garbage that those of us who are awake and aware put up with. Because after you shared my video up on Facebook yesterday, not only were people leaving hateful stuff on up on your Facebook towards it, but I started getting private messages from people I don't even know and never even met talking about how I'm a heretic and an anti-Semite and all this stuff. And all I did was share Bible verses.
That's it. Adam, you did a great job of it. It's really, really, it was venomous what some of the people were putting about. Hey, Adam, what was the subject that you touched that caused such, what was it, Adam?
All I did was share all the Bible verses that pretty much prove that all the land promises that God gave Israel were conditional upon Israel's obedience to God.
Amen. Amen. See, God, folks, look, God's, because I read this too, God's plan is an everlasting covenant. It's an everlasting covenant, right? Hey, hon, how many of you been married? How many of you been married? Raise your hand. Okay, that's most of you, right? Help me out here. When you got married, wasn't an everlasting covenant? Wasn't it supposed to be an everlasting covenant? And you kept your vows, and your wife or whatever broke their vows, and then you had a divorce. Well, what about that everlasting covenant? And we have to ask ourselves, you can find it in the scriptures, did God divorce Israel? Somebody help me out here. Somebody help me out. See, it's an everlasting covenant if you both keep the deal, if you both stay faithful. Michelle and I have an everlasting covenant. Unless she violates it, or unless I violate it, the covenant is everlasting. And see, we haven't figured this whole thing out yet. His covenant is everlasting, but there are requirements. You have to stay faithful, follow him, serve him. And if you don't do that, then they call it what? A divorce. Somebody help me out here. Come on, all of you out there. Is marriage an everlasting covenant or not? Is it? Michelle, how long have we been married? 40 some years. Everlasting. Everlasting. I will go to my grave with Michelle as my wife. It's everlasting. The covenant she and I made. And that was a covenant, I think, that was a covenant God had with Israel. And he broke it. And he divorced him. Boy, some people get nervous because they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. And I think what we're dealing with here in America right now is at the heart of that issue. So death do us part, right? Unless the government grants you divorce, right? It's everlasting. Marriage is everlasting. Unless one of the couples violates it. Come on in, Betty.
This is a little bit off topic, but I just want to thank you and Michelle for being there for me. Anybody that really gets on your case, they don't know you. You have such a heart. And I want to thank Dr. Paul and Eileen and David Arthur and Brett and so many who have sent texts and pictures and just kind words, comforting words for the loss of my service dog, Dingo. So thank you. So if anyone gets on your case or they send you an email, tell them to send it to me because I will have a word with them.
Betty, thank you, Betty. I'll send you $5 for that. I'm just kidding. Hey, folks, I'm telling you, the vitriol on Facebook over Israel is unbelievable. Christians. Now, I don't have it up, Spencer, but how many Christians, see if you can Google this. We had it last week. How many Christians are dispensational in their beliefs? Now, dispensational basically means, yeah, we know what it means, dispensations. How many Christians are dispensationalists? Only a third of Christians believe, well, I want to say this the right way, the significance of Israel and a rebuilt temple and yada, yada. Only a third of Christianity believes that, friends. Yet we are right now, bring up Ted Cruz. I'm sorry, Spence. Number two, Ted Cruz. This guy, I've always loved Ted Cruz. By the way, Tucker's really in trouble. We may get into that. Folks, listen. Are you going to listen with open ears? Ted Cruz, Tucker talking to Ted Cruz about Christian Zionism. What's Zionism? Hang on, Spence. Stu, I'm sorry, whatever. Spencer, look up Zionism so people understand what it is we're talking about. And hey, look, if I'm an Ohio State Buckeye, if I hope Michigan loses, am I a anti-Wolverine? Am I that? Or I'm just rooting.
Amen.
So right? So you can't even pick and choose anymore. You can't even say, well, I'm for these guys, I'm not against them. Zionism, listen now, this is Google. This ain't religious. Zionism is a political. I'm going to pause there, let that sink in. Zionism is a political and nationalistic movement that emerged in the late 19th century. Late 19th century. That'd be like 18... Remember, only a third of people believe this. Advocating for the self-determination of the Jewish people and the establishment of a Jewish state in their ancient ancestral homeland. Zionism. So Zionism is the support of Israel being reestablished as a nation. Okay? Only a third of Christianity believes that. But most Zionists are so zealous. Oh, this is so deep. This is so hard to get into. Because right now people are getting mad. Because it's a theology. And I'm not trying to trample on your theology. But I'm going to show you something. What's the theme? Somebody help me. What's the theme of Coach Dave Live? Somebody help me out. Come on. What's the theme?
Who told you that and why do you believe it?
Who told you that and why do you believe it? Thanks, Steve Duck. By the way, Steve had some great, powerful prayer last night, man. Steve, it's good to hear from you, brother. We miss you, man. We miss you. What was I going to say? I was going to go to a link, and all of a sudden I lost. Oh, pull up number Tucker. So Tucker, who's, by the way, he is really, really in trouble from the Jewish lobby. So call it whatever you want to. They're talking about criminally charging Tucker. Have you guys seen that? They say he's been working with behind the scenes against Israel, CIA, yada, that's a whole different story. Here is Ted Cruz. Time out, coach. The only reason that our American government would support Israel is because the Bible says so. It's the only reason. Not the only reason, but you understand. So we can say there's a separation between the church and state, but the reality is, our government, which they say is secular, is defending Israel based on biblical principles. Ted Cruz, maybe be president of the United States someday. Listen to what Ted Cruz says. This is a Tucker Carlson talking to Ted Cruz about Christian Zionism. What's the difference between Zionism and Christian Zionism? Zionism is the belief of a, what's the word I'm looking for? An Israeli state, an advancement of it. Christian Zionism is Christians getting behind that belief. John Hagee, on and on, satellite TV, yada, yada, yada. That's where it's a new, folks, it's brand new theology. Brand new fire. Then we get arguing over replacement theology and who's the church. Now, oh my God, drag us through the mud. And the truth is, not everybody knows. There are different opinions on it, okay? So listen to Ted Cruz. If he was on a job, if he was applying for a job at Coach Dave Live, I'd have to not hire him based on, he didn't even know what he's talking about. Go ahead.
Growing up in Sunday school, I was taught from the Bible, those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. And from my perspective, I want to be on the blessing side of things.
Of those who bless the government of Israel?
Those who bless Israel is what it says. It doesn't say the government of, it says the nation of Israel. So that's in the Bible. As a Christian, I believe that.
Where is that?
I can find it to you. I don't have the scripture off the tip of my. You pull out the phone and use the
Bible. It's in Genesis. But so you're quoting a Bible phrase. You don't have context for it. You don't know where in the Bible it is. But that's like your theology? I'm confused. What does that even mean?
Tucker.
I'm a Christian. I want to know what you're talking about.
Okay. Where does my support for Israel come from? Number one, because biblically we're commanded to support Israel. But number two.
Hold on. You're a senator, and now you're throwing out theology, and I am a Christian, and I am allowed to weigh in on this. We are commanded as Christians to support the government of Israel?
We are commanded to support Israel. And we're
what does
told,
that mean, Israel?
We're told those who bless Israel will be blessed.
But what? Hold on. Define Israel. This is important. Are you kidding? This is a majority Christian country.
Define Israel? Do you not know what Israel is? That would be the country you've asked like 49 questions about.
So that's what Genesis, that's what God is talking about.
The nation of Israel, yes.
And is that the current borders, the current leadership? He's talking about the political entity called Israel?
He's talking about the nation of Israel. Yeah, nations exist, and he's discussing a nation. A nation was the people of Israel.
Is the nation
the descendants
God's referring
of Abraham.
To in Genesis, is that the same as the country run by Benjamin Netanyahu right
yes.
now?
Yes, yes.
It is. Okay.
And by the way, it's not run by Benjamin Netanyahu as a dictator. It's a
I'm
democratic
not
country
a
that elected.
He's the prime minister,
right?
What?
But just like, you know, America is the country run by Donald Trump. No, actually, the American people elected Donald Trump. The same principle
is
there.
This is silly. I'm talking about the political entity of modern Israel.
Yes, and that is
you believe that's what God was talking about in Genesis.
I do, but
that country's existed since when?
For thousands of years. Now, there was a time when it didn't exist, and then it was recreated just over 70 years ago.
But I'm saying, I think most people understand that line in Genesis to refer to the Jewish people, God's chosen people.
That's not what it says.
Okay, Israel, but you don't even know where in the Bible it is.
There's a boom. And so here's the truth. Some of you come on in here. You can't even criticize Israel, which is really what Tucker was doing. Just criticizing it, saying, what? What the heck's going on over there? What's going on? How can that be? How can Christians support, a non-Christian nation? And Ted Cruz couldn't tell him. Relax. See, some of you, some of us are so hooked to our theology. How many different religions are there? 42,000, all of them with a different theology. And you can't call me a hater or an anti-Semite just because we ask the question. That's my, oh man. Some of you nervous? Come on in, Mary Beth.
Yeah, but Coach Tucker was not listening to Ted Cruz, which annoys me because Ted Cruz kept saying the nation of Israel, not the government. And Tucker didn't, he wasn't listening.
Well, I think Ted Cruz was talking about the government of Israel. Well, my honest opinion. I thought he was talking about the government of Israel. We have to support the government of Israel. How long has Bibi Netanyahu
been? He might have been, but Tucker still wasn't listening. I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
I think Tucker didn't listen because I think he knew what the response was going to be. That's what I think. And that's where, oh man, I'm going to get myself in trouble here today, right? Can somebody, well, this is so deep. Adam, come on in.
I'll get myself in trouble instead, Coach. How about that? The Bible does not say in Genesis chapter
2. Hey, folks, hang on. Aren't we just allowed to discuss this? Can we just discuss this? Go ahead, Adam.
The Bible does not say in Genesis chapter 12 that those who bless Israel will be blessed. The word Israel isn't even in that verse. God is speaking to Abram before his name changed to Abraham. And God tells Abram, those who bless you, I will bless, and those who bless and those who curse you, I will curse. It has
seed,
nothing
his
to
seed, Israel. His seed, his seed.
Right, right. And so in Galatians, the Bible explains to us that the seed that is referred to in Genesis 12 is Jesus. It's not Israel. So the blessing
Jesus is Abraham the seed.
Was Jesus. It's all about Jesus from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, not about a disobedient group of people. Anyway, I'll shut up, Coach.
Here's all I'm saying. Are we allowed to ask this? Are we allowed to discuss this? Because you do know, folks, that this whole thing in the Middle East, it's like some people are excited that maybe it's the end of the world. You guys know that, right? They're excited that we're seeing, living out Bible history. Oh, how exciting. Well, I'm excited about the return of Jesus, but I don't know if I'm ready for it yet. I don't know. It's touchy stuff we're on. Pull up John Fetterman. You know who Fetterman is, right? I'll get you, Dale. Hang on. Hey, folks, can we disagree on Israel and still be brothers and sisters in Christ?
Absolutely.
All right. Listen to what John Fetterman says. Yes. Okay, go ahead. John Fetterman. The heck? I just watched it this morning. Worked for me. All right, it's not working now. Come on in, Dale.
Yeah, hallelujah, Coach. You know that there's half truths on there's half truths on both sides of that. I'm sorry.
I think he's good. Go ahead. He's working on the vid audio.
Okay. Yeah, there's half truths to both of this. If we understand that when Israel was not obedient, then God smacked them down, and other people possessed their land, and we have to ask ourselves: are they obedient to the scriptures today? No. You have homosexuality, you have bestiality, you have all of the abortion, all of these things that violate God's law. But it's the geography. God, he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you. Is he speaking about the people or the city, the location, right? It's this location. The land, absolutely, this location plays biblical prophecy. It's very important. We see that in the second coming. But I'm going to tell you something. As the psalmist says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, but sin is the reproach to what?
Certain people.
Any people. And so, Coach, there's a truth to each side of it. And I say, I'm always cautious because I don't want to be wrong on that one, because I don't want to get cursed by God in that sense of if this is God's promise. But I have no problem being a John the Baptist who went right into Herod's court and rebuked him because he was living and married to his brother's wife, right? We don't bring the correction. So when they have abortion that's high over there, homosexuality is high over there, we think that God is winking at that? I don't think so. Absolutely not. Now, I do think they also have a right to exist, and I'd hate to be in a country where these little rats are throwing missiles at us every other day, but that doesn't give us the right to go over there. What I do like about what Donald Trump is doing, he's bombing Israel's military strikes. He's not hitting the civilian population. The people are not the problem. The governments, including ours, are.
Governments are the problem. So, folks, very simple question. Where you go to church, is the church the building or is it the people in there?
There you go, the people, baby.
So when you go to Israel, is it the government or the people who live there?
It's the people.
It's the people, folks. It ain't. How long's Benjamin Netanyahu had a stranglehold on Israel? How long is it?
Did anybody over 25 years, baby. He goes back actually all the way to Clinton, as when he first started entering into that scene, Coach.
Man, oh man. Okay, we got John Fetterman. I'm sorry if this is making some of you nervous. I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-Israel. I'm not whatever. I'm not trying to live out pre-written history. Go ahead. See if it works now.
Say that they don't think the administration has a clear end game in Iran. Do you have concerns about how they know when to be done with Iran?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very much aware that I'm the only Democrat in the Senate that supports this operation. I'm going to continue to do that. And I would remind all of your viewers, whether it was Hillary Clinton when she was running for president.
And I want the Iranians to know that if I'm the president, we will attack Iran. Because whatever stage of development they might be in their nuclear weapons program in the next 10 years, during which they might foolishly consider launching an attack on Israel, we would be able to totally obliterate them.
It will be totally, again, obliterated.
Or Kamala Harris when she was running just in 24. In fact, she actually identified Iran as her top concern. You know, she called Iran a grave danger.
I'm clear-eyed. Iran is a destabilizing, dangerous force in the Middle East. And let us be clear, Iran is not only a threat to Israel, Iran is also a threat to American personnel in the region, American interests, and innocent civilians across the region.
And now everyone, every single Democrat agrees that they can never allow Iran to acquire a nuclear bomb. And now Donald Trump has done that, made that virtually impossible to achieve their nuclear weapons, and they've effectively broke the entire Iranian military apparatus. I don't know why we as Democrats, if we had all those kinds of goals and those kinds of concerns, and now that he's achieved that, why now we only can criticize that, or they could always make it seem like it's been a failure or things are out of control. That's just categorically not true.
Democrats.
You're a Democrat.
That girl's wicked. Let me play something lighthearted for you here real quick, okay? But it's going to make it going to make the same. I'm sorry some of you are nervous. Folks, this is the heart of what's going on in the culture. This is it, right at the heart of it. And we're not allowed to discuss it. You're going to get mad because you don't agree with it. So yeah, but Coach, you got to read this and you got to read. I know. There's a lot of things, right? Both ways. Pull up JP on this is good. Number 7. JP. Oh, wait, go back to that. Go back to that. Go back to that one. Folks, I meant to show you this earlier. You know what that is? Deaths in the United States of America. The red is abortion. Huh?
Boom.
Abortion. And we think God's going to bless America? Huh? That's unbelievable, isn't it? Isn't that unbelievable? God help us. Go ahead. JP.
It's coming in. Beautiful day.
Yep, not yet. Hey, I've been seeing the Zionist stuff all over, but what's that mean? Zionism, is that a religion, like a form of Judaism?
Oh, no, it's not a religion. It's a political movement. Became an organized movement in the 1890s with major financial backing from the Rothschilds.
The Rothschilds?
Yeah, you know, the control banking, world government, secretive global control family.
Those Rothschilds?
Yep. Those Rothschilds. Specifically, it was Edmund D. Rothschild that helped launch Zionism.
So it's not the same thing as Judaism?
No,
what Zionism is runs in opposition to actual Judaism, which technically makes Zionism anti-Semitic when you think about it. But I don't think you're supposed to think about it because that creates problems for powerful people. Okay, so actual Judaism is not Zionism. Correct. Zionism violates the values of Judaism, so they're not the same and kind of very different. I thought Judaism and Zionism just went together. That's confusing. I think it's meant to be confusing.
I thought Zionism was biblical.
No, it's a political ideology from the 1890s. Judaism is the biblical one.
Rothschild, Zionism. So you're saying it's the same Rothschilds that most of us think control governments around the world?
Yeah, same name, same bloodline.
Huh. How would the Rothschilds control the U.S.?
You ever hear of Israel?
What do the Rothschilds have to do with Israel?
They helped create it. They played a very pivotal role in the early development of a Zionist community in Palestine and the eventual creation of the State of Israel.
So you think the Rothschilds might have some influence and control over something that they created?
Yeah. Maybe.
Huh, weird. So why are all the Zionists wanting this war with Iran?
Well, what would you say is at the heart of all corrupt power?
Well, I'd say the desire to accumulate more power and control at the expense of human welfare.
I would agree.
I don't know about that. I've been hearing a lot of Zionists on interviews lately, Lindsey Graham's doing a lot of them, saying we have to do the war with Iran to protect Israel, because God wants us to.
What have all parties throughout all religious wars and all of history said was their motive for killing and destruction?
God wanted them to.
And what about opposing sides in the same religious war?
God wanted them to. Both of them.
Yeah. Do you think God's schizophrenic?
Probably not.
Or do you think evil would use the name of God to justify corrupt actions?
I suppose it might. But I follow some Zionists online and they don't seem like they have evil intentions.
They seem like genuinely good people supporting what they think is good.
Yep,
I agree.
So why would good people support something evil?
Well, because of weaponized morality.
Huh?
Weaponized morality. It's when evil movements convince good people that the good thing to do is the bad thing. But they use lies, deception, and manipulation to convince people that the bad thing is the good thing.
Weaponized morality. I don't know about that. Like, has that ever happened before?
Do you know why German citizens turned in their neighbors?
Well, probably because they just wanted to do something really bad and evil.
No, they were told that's the good thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
Get this deadly shot to protect everyone around you. It's the right thing to do. Or you have to burn down buildings in downtown Portland because that's the right thing to do. Or we have to censor speech online because that's the right thing to do.
And here we are.
Most of them aren't bad people. They're good people that fell for it.
Yeah, you know, I used to believe that whole climate crisis thing.
Yeah, I fell for that one too.
Yeah, people can just be stupid sometimes. But man, I get what you're saying with all this.
But I just think if you look at the Bible and with the end times prophecy and Israel being God's chosen people, it just makes me think that what's going on with the war with Iran, there just might be something biblical to that.
You're referring to dispensationalism, not the Bible.
Dispensationalism doesn't come from the Bible. It's a radicalized literal interpretation of the Bible that comes from the Scofield Reference Bible. Not the Bible.
What's that?
It's a book written and published in 1909 by a guy named C.I. Scofield in order to spread Zionism. And they got it to be very influential over Christianity with its new, well, made up interpretations of the Bible. It's got a strong emphasis on literal Israel being God's chosen people.
And it strongly pushes prophecy and end time interpretations that aren't present in traditional biblical interpretations, but are very important pieces of Zionist propaganda.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. All right, somebody come in and swap me or pat me on the back. I don't care. See, again, why can't we discuss this? Why am I an anti-whatever? Because I just want to know the truth. I just want to know the truth. And somebody help me out here. The nation of Israel rejects Jesus Christ. And we're Christians. And we're supporting a nation that rejects Jesus Christ. He said, well, they're all going to be saved. They're all going to, but they ain't right now. We're supporting a government. We're supporting a government established government, not a people. So if somebody said, F Michigan, everybody in Ohio says F Michigan. Well, I don't say that. I don't say that. My wife doesn't say that. Not all of Christian folks, I'm sorry, not all of Christianity believes Zionism. Come on in, Craig.
Okay. Hey, Spencer, pull up in the New King James, the book of Hosea, please.
Craig, we can't hear you. You're muted.
Sorry about that. Okay, so this is about when Hosea goes and he's told to take a woman of harlotry. It's used a lot in how Israel is divorced. Okay, so can you scroll down a little bit there, Spencer, so we can read this? Okay, so he's told to do this. Says the land's committed this. Keep on going down. All right, so he each one of these people, these girls, has a name. Okay, he's talking about the house of Jezreel and Jehu. Okay, does anybody know what part of Israel that's in? Well, we're going to get to it. Okay, come on down a little bit further. Okay, all right, help, stop. All right, so I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah. Okay, we got two houses there. So which house is he talking about? But right now he's having mercy on Judah, but he's not on Israel, because he's talking about the house of Israel, Ephraim, the two kingdoms. Go down. It says, "Will save them." Hold on. Will not save them by the bow nor sword or battle horse. Now, when she was weaned, she has another one. Okay, go down. You can read this for yourself. Yet the number of children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered, and it shall come to pass in a place where it said to them, "You are not my people."
Wow.
Israel, we're not talking about Judah, house of Israel, two houses we're talking here. There shall be said to them, "You are sons of the living God." Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together. Now, when does that happen? I don't think it has. And appoint themselves one head. That would be Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Down, and they shall come up out of the land. Go down a little bit further, Spencer, please. For great will be the day of Jezreel. Okay. And so, and it says, in a lot of times it will say, in the latter days. Okay. So what I'm just trying to say is when you're using this and you're saying, okay, did God divorce the house of Israel? Yes. But he had mercy on Judah. Why? Because Judah was the one that ended up going up and getting taken into Babylon. Okay. So we have to really dig into to the terminology. And then when you go to chapter 3, go to chapter 3, all right? And you can look this up later. Okay, go down to verse 4, okay, because it talks about this. Okay, so it says, "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king or a prince." Yeah, guess what? Ephraim, we got sent to all these nations without sacrifice or a sacred pillar, without an ephod. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. Okay, this is Hosea. This is the time of Hezekiah. David's dead. What do you mean they're going to come back and seek the Lord their God and David their king? And they shall feel the Lord of Israel in the latter days. What are the latter days? So these are the questions that I have when we sit there and we say, oh, no, no, okay. It's much deeper than what we're getting into in these segments here on the show.
Hey, okay. Thank you, Craig. This is really, really good. Again, folks, listen. Who told you that, and why should you believe it? And I'm going to tell you, me, Coach Dave, I don't believe what I used to believe about a lot of different things as I began to see the truth unfold. And just because you have believed it, or your denomination believed it, does not necessarily mean that it's true, because there's another denomination that will disagree. You know, are you with me on this? And we're not even allowed to talk. I feel it. Some of you are really pissed off right now that we would even discuss this.
I'm not upset. I'm just sitting there saying,
I'm not talking about you. Relax.
is it's much deeper than what we're getting.
It's much deeper. We are so surface on it. We are so on the surface. And of all places, when we come together with different denominations, we can't talk about this. We can't. You get mad. If what you believe, God bless you. But I'm going to tell you this. There are a lot of people who can't explain any of what we're talking about right now. Can't explain any of it. Most of the people that you go to church with are very, very shallow in their understanding of eschatology, really of what they're very, very shallow. And they just believe what the pastor has taught them. Now, if you agree with the pastor, God bless you. But I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of people who disagree. Adam, come on in.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, you know, it's weird because all we have to do is share Bible verses, and right away people think that we're trying to cut the jugular of a group of people, that we're anti a group of people. You know, I can go into your chat. This is why I love your show, Coach. I can go into your chat and read, let's say, Peter, what Peter has to say. And I know that Peter doesn't have a mean spirit in him. Peter's just trying to express what he believes as the truth the best way that he can. And I'm doing the same thing, and so is everybody else. But there's a group of people, and I would say it's probably the majority of the church, but there's a group of people who came onto your Facebook the last 2 days, and all they did was spout division and hatred over what? Over a disagreement over the exegesis of Bible verses? This is why the church is so feckless to do anything in this world, because we're fractured and divided. Anyway, I'll shut up.
Not only don't we agree, we get mad. We break fellowship over something nobody really knows. We break fellowship over 42,000 different denominations. God's not the author of confusion, folks. He's not the author of confusion. And if you could try to explain to somebody Christianity, could you do it? And I bet you I could put two of you together and you'd agree on a lot of it, but there'd be some branches that you didn't agree on. And I've got to tell you this, in most of American Christianity, we argue over the branches, not over the trunk, not over the trunk, not over the roots. We argue over the branches. That's where our divisions are. Come on, Randy.
Well, Coach, a lot of the problem is how we define the throne of David. If you futurize it, you're going to miss it. Because if you read the book of Acts, Coach, in Acts chapter 2, Peter clearly teaches this on the day when he's preaching this in Acts 2, 29 through 35. And what he's saying to them, look, Israel wanted Judah, whoever you want to call him, at that time of Christ, they had all came back there, okay? It was all of them. They came from all over the world to be there at the Feast of Pentecost, okay, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. So really, that issue with Hosea really isn't even applicable in that sense, because God gave them all a chance to find the Messiah right there, and they did. They went back to their world, wherever they were in whatever country, and they took the gospel. I mean, probably all 12 tribes. So, Coach, what if you understand what Peter is teaching here? He's talking to them. They wanted a physical throne, them Jesus to come and sit on that throne in the temple. It wasn't in the temple, by the way. It was, but that's what they were looking for, because of the day he ascended. It says, "Is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom back to Israel?" They thought it was physical, Coach, and people still do. And if you do, you're going to miss it. Because it wasn't. And if you read this in context, Peter is telling them that Jesus is sitting on it. It's at the right hand of God. He is sitting on the promised throne of David. It's in heaven. It's with God, the Father. So if you don't see that, it's going to go right. You're going to keep fighting. You're going to keep arguing.
So Randy, that's why the kingdom of God is within. It's within us, folks. When you receive the Holy Spirit, the kingdom, the rule and reign of Jesus Christ is within you. It's not without, it's internal. And we're supposed to expand the kingdom. How do we expand the kingdom? By bringing other people into the rule of Christ. The kingdom has come. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. It's not some future thing. It's kingdom's here now. So
Coach,
Mark Trump, come on in.
Coach, read verse 36, would you please? Verse 36.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
That's his conclusion about the throne of David, Coach. That is Luke's writing the book of Acts, okay? Peter, he went with Paul. He learned a lot of this from Paul, but he's quoting Peter on that day. He's preaching this. He ended it, Coach, right there. He gave you the conclusion of the matter.
Randy, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. He said, Peter, what? What are we going to do? All this other stuff we've learned, what are we going to do? And Peter said unto them, hey, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Boom. Let me get Mark in here. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I think there's another piece of this. We've hit all around it. We have the government, we have the church, and we have the people. Now, in every country, every religion, every single group has the same divisions. When a religion rises up in a country, the government loses power.
Okay? Amen, brother.
All right.
Amen.
When the government rises up, they usurp power from the religion, the church. Wow, now, yes, whether it's in a African religion, you know, which we've never heard of, the Indian religion. What happened to Indians when Christians moved in? We were the invasive species. We were the Christians. We neglected their religion. We said ours is better. We taught the poor, dumb natives how to live. What about the government? What was the government in the Indian tribes? There is a government. There is a hierarchy that competed with religion. The only time it works is if the government is in line with religion in a country. It's the only time it works. Wow. So if you think about Israel, they got the Bible saying that Israel's special. And you got a government knowing that. And you got a religion knowing that. And when Jesus walked, it was the same people, the third group, that were being taxed by both the church and the government. So you got three entities, the people of Israel, the Israel government, and the Israel religion. Okay.
Yep.
We're not looking at the dynamics for the people. It's right here in America. It's the same friggin' Roman Empire controlling the Jewish religion right here in America, and nobody will face it. That we are Roman. Look at the capital. It's Roman. It's got all the gods, the Nephilim gods on our Capitol building. And we've got the Jews running the country. Same as in Israel when Jesus walked. Same three groups, the people paying both of the two corrupt groups. Every government loses power to religions. Every religion loses power to the government. And until they align, it'll always be that way. Okay? The people are subject to it.
So, folks, ask yourself this. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Can't you see this, folks? Can't you see this? I am the way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through him.
Amen.
Look what we're doing. Look at what Christianity is doing. We are exalting a people, a group, call whatever you want to, that deny the godhood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, Coach, if I can chime in.
Call me anti-Semitic. Call me whatever you want to. Jesus Christ rules the whole world. that the whole world in his hands, I learned as a little kid.
Amen.
Except over here, not over here. Right. You know, this is where he really is, over here. Oh, my goodness. Lies, deception, and fear. I hope you all love me. I just want the truth. See you tomorrow. See you tonight.